maybe switch gears just a little bit. This is just this answer is just reminding me of the importance of Brahmaviharas. And I know for myself, a lot of my kilesas have to do with fear and anger and things. And so, just thinking about how the Brahmaviharas, what are the importance of Brahmaviharas for Westerners, maybe especially, but also balancing out Dutanga practices.
Yeah, I think that is actually really an important perspective, in the sense that it can be that kind of commitment to the Dutangas is a it makes for very, very grim states of mind, and it doesn't have to, but I mean that's sometimes what comes up, because sometimes what it triggers in us is a competitive mind, or a kind of I'm really going to beat up on my kilesas now, and I'm going to really conquer them. It's not a good mind state to start with. So the grounding and cultivation, grounding oneself in and cultivation of the Brahmaviharas is really such an important piece of the the whole path, really, because it does, I see, the fruits of the practice. Again, you think back on the qualities of the Buddha, which of course that's what we're trying to cultivate, and that those wisdom, compassion, purity, and those are three kind of legs that the Buddhist practice stands on, and those are what create a stability. You've got enough of a foundation to be able to have a solid base, and they need to be balanced and attended to, so that those aspects of compassion, loving kindness, the Brahmaviharas, these expansive, bright states of mind, states of being, are really, say, uplifting and soothing for the mind. If we're constantly trying to be pure. And of course, and see, the thing is, all of them are necessary. That sense of purity, in that there is a commitment to relinquishment of greed, hatred, and delusion, a commitment to selflessness, a commitment to a quality of effacement. Then, of course, the practice is an essential part of the practice. But then, it's also human nature to get obsessed with purity, which is, sila bhatta paramasa, is that seeking purity out of some kind of practice, some kind of precept, something that I do is going to make me pure, and so that's an obstacle. That's one of the main obstacles to stream entry. So it's sort of the inside of the Dhamma is blocked when we're focused on purity. But it doesn't mean we don't keep those precepts. We have that commitment to effacement, but it needs to be balanced with wisdom and compassion. And similarly, wisdom on its own, without the other two, can end up being very either over analytical, over rational, over uh, over clever, you know, if you get it all figured out. And you know, sometimes you meet people who are Buddhist practitioners who know the teachings and know they've got the book knowledge, they've got it all in place, and they're just insufferable to be around if they use it as either as a club or as a prop for their own sense of self worth, or to tear down others, and you know, that happens. He can alter the Buddha, you say Buddhist history, and in the Buddhist world, I mean, it's just the nature of mind. So that's where those aspects of wisdom, compassion, purity are the tradition. It's like when we do the chant Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa, that's pointing right to those qualities. Arahant Samma Sambuddho Bhagava. It's like Bhagava, the Blessed One, is the embodiment of loving kindness and compassion. Arahant is in Thai, it's interesting because when the word Arahant is one who's far from defilement, and that's a commentarial, very, very old way of expressing purity, so that it isn't, again, the sense of, oh, you don't have to kill all the kilesas, you just need to not get close to them. And Samma Sambuddho is self-awakened, and so that's that quality of wisdom. Those three qualities are the qualities that we need to rely on. So that loving kindness and compassion are really essential pieces of a balanced heart, balanced mind.